of a year. So Perek, Lamed, Gimel. Lamed, Gimel, Lamed, Dalet, we both know. These are obvious tilums, and you're going to see them, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course, that's what it means over here. But let's go. Ranu Tzedikim Hashem. Rejoice in song in Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? All the Tzedikim. Sharon Navasi Hila. For the Yasharin, you know, a Yashar person, Navasi Hila. There is, it's beautiful to be Tehila, to have this praise, etc. So the reason why David Melch made this tilum is because a great victory had been accorded to him from something that he had done in war, etc. And he wanted to show everybody that although obviously we're the ones who won the war physically, really we have to attribute everything back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the one that caused us to win. That's the idea behind it. Some say that this is not referring to the war that he was fighting on the outside, but rather a war on the inside, that it's Mohammed HaYetzer, and that he's referring to the fact that he was able to defeat his Yetzer Hara. And that's the reference over here as well. There is another thing. The question is, what's better, a Yasher or a Tzaddik? Who's better in that way, a Yasher or a Tzaddik? So a Yasher, in a way, is greater than a Tzaddik. Because a Tzaddik, right, is still in the midst of a fight. Well, a Yasher has already won the war. He's already upright. He's beyond that level, so to speak. So in a way, a Tzaddik is not as good as a Yasher. So that's why it starts off with Ranu Tzaddikim Hashem, but La Yasharim Navasila. That guy gets the ultimate praise. Okay, obviously we say this on Shabbat Day, so let's go through some of the things that we say on Shabbat Day. Hodu Hashem Bechinor, give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the harp. The Naval Asor Zamrilo, sing to him with a 10-stringed guitar. I'm not big into this. I don't know enough about this stuff to be able to really define it. But I remember Ross Gordon talking to me about this once, about what the difference is in the different strings of a guitar or a harp, how the more strings it is, the more pleasant the song. And I guess I understand that part a little bit, that you can do more with the more strings you have. But a Naval Asor was like the ultimate guitar, the ultimate stringed instrument, because it had all the strings that you could possibly have. It produced a very loud, clear song, a sound, and that was there for Nevuah, in order to get Nevuah properly. Sure, Lo Shir Chadash, sing a brand new song, Heitivu Nagin Bisruah. Play well, that's Heitivu Bisruah, with shouting together with it. Now, it seems that a new song affects you more than an old song does. And I guess that makes sense, right? You hear a brand new song that's really, really good, then I guess it's more of an effect. It has more of an effect on you. But personally, I don't know. I always am weirded out the first time I hear a song, and then I just get used to it, I guess, and I like it. I personally like the older songs that I'm used to, than like a new song that I've never heard before. But I'm not a big musical guy. I'm not so sure in and of itself. I also think it depends on what kind of the musical instrument does. What does it do for the song itself, right, and how it goes. Some say that specifically it's Bisruah is a scarier sound. It's more of a staccato, which is a lower pitched sound that comes out from it, that's how you go through. Okay, regardless, it is something like this, in that Shir Chadash, when a person sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should do so as if he's not going to sing again. By the Malachim, they sing Shira once and then they're done. They don't sing ever again. They're done. They have no other thing out there. It seems that it's the same thing that David Melch is saying, that's how a person should sing the song. Now, where do we know that by the Malachim? Do you remember? Then the Malachim get to sing one song, and that's it, and then they're done for all time. Remember, it's from Esav's Malach, when he fought against Yaakov, and he wanted to leave in the morning. He said, today is my day to sing my song, to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing, so let me go so that I can go sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov said, I won't let you go until you give me a bracha, right? And they gave him the bracha, right? Your name is not going to be Yaakov, rather it's going to be Yisrael. That's what we learn about. Yashar Devar Hashem, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely Yashar V'chol Maaseihu Be'emunah. Everything he does is out of Emunah, meaning I know it's right, even though I don't fully agree with how it's going. That's what Emunah means. I have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to do this in the best possible way, even though there seems to be something wrong with it. Oh, tzedakah u'mishpat. He loves tzedakah and judgment. Chesed Hashem al ha'aretz. And the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills up the entire land. And clearly it's chesed that really is filling up the land over the mishpat. Mishpat is, you have a judgment that you have to do, so that's what ends up having to be. The chesed is the ultimate when it comes to something like that. In the future, everyone will know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say and what it meant to be, and we'll all see it as a chesed, even though it looks to us to be like a mishpat and something bad. Midvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu. By the word of God, the heavens were created. Baruch Piv Kol Tzva'am. And all of the hosts by the wind of his mouth itself. This is something that obviously we don't understand so much, but it is interesting. Halachically, on Shabbos, we think that in order to be chayiv for doing a malacha on Shabbos, it has to be something that you do with your hands, like an action, a malacha. The truth is, even saying things on Shabbos can be something that's usur. In other words, daber daber is a dorabanan. You can't speak about things that happen during the week. And the reason why is because just like Hashem created the world through dibur, and we stop. He stopped doing so. He stopped speaking, so to speak. So do we do the exact same thing? We create, or we do things through dibur, we stop on Shabbos. We stop speaking about creation on Shabbos itself. Kodesh Kaneid Le'ayom, he gathers the waters together as a mound, and I think that's understood from Kriyat Yarden, not Kriyat Yamsuf, where it just split, the Kriyat Yarden, where the Jordan River, not split really, the water is counted up as a mound all the way up, as of Noach, and no same boat Saros Salmos. He stores up the deeps in treasure chambers. In other words, he allows for everything to be gathered in one place so that, I guess, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it, he goes through. I saw one of the coolest things the other day. It was a video on that was on weather, the Weather Channel or whatever, something like that, where there was a whirlpool in the middle of a random lake. It was just like a small little lake, and it was pulling everything into it. And it's the coolest thing. I mean, it doesn't get lost. There's like, it just, I forgot how they explained how it happens, but like whirlpools down, and then it just spreads out over the entire lake. And then it goes straight back in, and then spreads out all over the place. It's the coolest thing to be able to go through, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it to almost as if, on its own, in its own area. That's the idea behind it. Yirum, perhaps that stops flooding, I don't know. Yirum Hashem Kol Haaretz, let the entire land fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many a guru coach is able. Anybody who lives on the earth, they will be afraid of him. So that's that. There were two miracles that happened in Kriyas Yamsuf. One was that the waters split, and we all know that fine. That was one miracle that everybody remembers. The second thing was that the waters congealed. Not just the walls congealed, so that they were hardened, so that they wouldn't come down or anything like that. But think about it. You got under the Red Sea. Have you been to the Red Sea before? Red Sea? So when you go to the Red Sea, it's a whole ecosystem on the bottom. There's whole plant, animal things, corals. You have a coral reef. It's the bottom of the Red Sea. Were they walking on coral reef? Was that what they were walking on? It's most likely it was. The Sea of Reeds was the Yam Suf. So it's likely that it was the Yam Suf. And if it was, the way they show it, here, you know what? They probably have a picture over here. Yeah?
So it made it a walking surface.
Maybe not.
Wasn't there a major surface, like a moving surface?
The moving surface is the congealed waters. I wonder if it has it over here. I'll tell you
about it. Also, the gliding of the moving itself.
I mean, that happened by the Anani Akavod. It would be unlikely. No, it's too far down. It's right here. There's two parts of the Red Sea that the Sinai Peninsula, right, takes up. So the Sinai Peninsula right here, there's Red Sea. Here's where they cross, but they cross in like a crisscross direction, in like a semicircle, as opposed to right across from one part to the other. In that sense, there were two things. That was that, and not only that, because there was coral on the bottom, the water congealed and made it even. Think about when you walk inside, but just Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
think about what happens. All over the shallow ends, which is where they would have walked. Right? That would have been all perfect here. Right. This is it. It's actually the Gulf of Suez. That's what it would be. The Red Sea is right there. Okay? This is all the Red Sea over here. It's a huge area. Right? That goes right over there. But there is the Gulf of Suez. The Suez Canal was right up there connecting the Mediterranean Sea to the Gulf of Suez. And this is called, what do they call it? The Gulf of Aqaba. Right? Here's where they went through. It's right over here. I'm sorry?
That's Jordan.
Yeah. That's Jordan, yeah. So Gulf of Suez, they went right around here. It was like that. Right around this area, they went like that. So there's no question, in that area, there would have been some type of coral. But if the water congealed to the bottom, number one, that means you don't have to go down. Think about going to Lake Michigan. You have to go down and down and down and down and down because the depth of the lake is huge. Here, they didn't have to do that. It congealed so that they walk on the water, so to speak.
How do you understand the initial of...
I don't know. It depends on what you're talking about.
Nachshon
definitely went down. Wherever he stopped, that's where the water congealed.
Clearly, he walked down.
No, there's no question. You have to go a little bit down, because otherwise you wouldn't have water on the sides, right? The walls wouldn't have been there. You have to go a little bit down, but you don't have to go all the way down. That's the point. So you went down enough, right, by the sand or the rocks, whatever it was.
To understand that when the water came back on the Mitzvah, it came on the horses also?
Yeah, but it wasn't that they came down, so to speak.
High enough also.
It mixed in. The water that was congealed sunk in. Then all of a sudden, where are they? That's the idea behind it. Okay, so that's the two miracles that were over there. God said what he wanted, and it was Kutzivav, the Amos, he commanded, and all of a sudden, the Yamsuk became what it was supposed to be. No flooding, anything like that. He made it as it is, and that's it. That's how it was. And some say there were reference to children as well. What do you got?
Well, here it says, you turn the sea to damp land. Damp land would be...
the material itself, right? All of a sudden, it became... it wasn't able to be able to hold them. Now, that's one thing, that he went to Kriyas Yamsuk and he said, that's what Hashem did for us in the past. Hashem may fear Atzat Kriyam, but not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the eights of the nations of the world. He brings to nothing the thoughts that the people wanted to do. And we talked about this before. This is a reference to Migdal Babel. Migdal Babel wanted to fight God, they wanted to go up against God, they wanted to do something, whatever it is, and that we say, they weren't able to come to fruition. They weren't able to get down what they wanted to get down. That's what it means by he destroyed the eights of the Machshavos. We talked about this before. I still don't understand how they're not successful in what they do when they try to destroy Klal Yisrael, try to do something destructive, how it keeps being thwarted, so to speak. Yes, we have tremendous police forces and CIA agents and people that are out there, but it's the Yafi Deshmaya that puts them in the right place at the right time. That's how I always picture this pasuk over here. Yeah.
Can we say that God will allow keeping them?
Yeah, that's our plan.
Not that they're in the right place, but I'm saying like all the technology that they're using now, is Hashem giving them that?
I think it's more, not in my mind, I think of it more of we created the technology with Siyata Deshmaya, but now it works, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to see what we need to see. But I hear what you're saying. Either way, I don't want to take away from anybody who's doing it. Atas Hashem Lolam Tamod, the eighth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will last forever. Mashavos Libo Lidor Bador. His Mashavos reign for all time, as we obviously know. Sometimes, you know, a vanquished foe, a guy who's knocked down, will be able to regain his footing and be able to go back against the guy. Not when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him, it's not going to happen. Asher Agosh Hashem Elokav, happy is the nation where Hashem is his God. Al-Bakar Lanakalolo, the people are chosen as his own inheritance, as God's inheritance, which might be beat Hashem. From the heavens, God looks down, Ra'as Kol B'nei Adam, and he looks at all the different men that are out there, all the B'nei Adam that are there, everyone individually, M'chon Shikto, from the place where he lives, he's Shkiach. He looks down directly, as in Mashkiach, Al-Kol Yoshei Aretz, to all the people of the land. That's called Hashkacha Pratis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down at everything there, everything that's going on. Hayotze Yachad Libam, he fashioned their hearts together. Amigin Okol Masem, he understands all of their deeds. He repays them according to everybody and what they have done. Not according to what he expects out of everyone, meaning in a public way, but each person individually, what you should do and what you, I was expecting from you. That's what he does. This is a line, obviously, that we do use in Rosh Hashanah. Ein HaMelech Nosha Barov Chayel, Gibor Lo Yinatzel Barov Kayach. A king is not saved, and this is what Dovin Elch is saying, just because of human efforts with the huge army that he has. That's not why a king is saved. Gibor, a strong man, is not saved Barov Koach, by his tremendous strength. That's not what happens over here. Dovin Elch said that the reason why, I mean, there might be people that think that way, that's not how it works. Dovin Elch is saying the reason why I'm saved is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Shekhar Asus L'Shua. For salvation, the horse means absolutely nothing. No matter how big his army is, that will not help him escape if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to escape. And we spoke about this before as well. Sus was named because Somech v'Somech. Samach v'Samach. Right? Samach vav Samach. That you're relying on the horse. Relying on its power. The horse power, so to speak, that you get from the horse itself. And that's a false hope. That's something that you're hoping for in vain. It doesn't have the power to save you. It doesn't have the power to be able to do what you want it to do. Right? It is a live animal. There's an interesting thing. There's a story told about Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, who was a minister to the king of Spain, even during the times of the Spanish Inquisition, and his horse refused to budge in the middle of a battle. To the astonishment of Abarbanel, when he was trying to get it to go, it wouldn't go, an arrow suddenly passed through the spot where he was about to go. So Abarbanel was saved, obviously, and he said this idea, Shekir Hasus, the disloyalty of the horse, Litshua, led to my salvation. You hear? It's a cute little play on the words over here, but he used to say it right when it goes through. And that's that. And obviously horses can lead to your death as well when it comes to things like that. Ina Shama Yureyav, the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is toward those who fear him. Lamiyachon Lachaso, for those who hope for his chesed, who say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I want, try to help me with this. So let's try to explain with a mashal. And I think you've all heard a mashal based on this before. A man lived all of his life in a forest and had never seen a mirror before in his life. He had never seen what a mirror is or anything like that. He one time came into a city and he happened upon a person, right, a house where the owner was absent, and he wanted to examine and touch everything. He had never seen this type of stuff in his life. All the things that this regular city dweller had, he had never seen before. Then he found himself standing in front of a mirror and there was another man standing there, right? So he tried to take hold of the other man, and obviously the other tried to do the same to him. So he grabbed a rock and smashed the mirror, and obviously the guy ran away. The guy wasn't there anymore, right? The crash brought the owner running, and he said, what did you do? And he told him, he's like, listen, I made motions, I did this, I picked up a rock, he picked up a rock, so I was trying to save myself. I hit him at the same time that he was trying to hit me, and I must have gotten rid of him. The guy told him, obviously, it's an illusion. It was all you, right? That was you yourself acting. You got that, right? You understood? Because it was a mirror? Just wanted to make sure it did. You're okay?
Mowgli.
What's Mowgli?
From the Jungle Book.
From the Jungle Book. Oh, are we saying that because Maisa Shahaya?
Yeah, he was in the jungle, and he left the jungle, and he went to someone's house. And that continued.
Is that what happened? That's not what happened in the Jungle Book. The book itself.
No, in the movie.
Oh, was it? Did it happen in a movie?
No, in the movie, he just leaves the jungle.
Oh, I don't know. In the book, he does leave the jungle also. He goes to his... forgot what the person's name is. But anyway, but the moral of the story is, whatever a man does, right, it's really what you're doing to yourself. It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's foolish to blame a Kadosh Baruch Hu for what's happening. You're lifting up the rock upon yourself. You're the one who's hitting yourself or chasing after yourself. That's the idea behind it. So if you hope for his chesed, then things are good. If you think that you're going to be able to rule over and decide and do this, that, and the other, it's not going to happen the way. He delivers their soul from death. Obviously, this could apply in the Nimrod Avram style or any of the Jews throughout time, and feeds them through a famine. That obviously could apply to all of the others through. And nonetheless, we hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is our help, he is our shield. That's the way that we should look at it. In him, our hearts are happy, because we have assured ourselves in his holy name, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be upon us, kasher yichal nulach, just like we have waited for you at all times. Interesting little thing, but again, there's a lot in this that deals with Rosh Hashanah. So what's this have to do with Shabbos? Sukkot is Zimra. What's the idea behind that? There is a Ma'amar Chazal that we get judged every hour or every day. And although normally during the week we don't have enough time to be able to do a little Sukkot is Zimra, sometimes on Shabbos we're able to add on a little bit more than maybe we would have done otherwise. Now there are some aspects of Shabbos that are weird, like Shemona Esrei is shortened because there's not enough time to do 19 brachas of Shemona Esrei, so we make it into 7. But on the other hand, Sukkot is Zimra is enlarged because we have enough time to sit down and do extra Pesukah to Zimra. This is one of the aspects that we have to look at, and we have to say to ourselves how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the power to do what we did during the week. And that's the Maila that we have from this Mizmor Tehillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that power to be able to do. You know, that's one way of looking at it. Now, Lama Dawid is another one that we say in Shabbos with David. This is said over to David. Listen to this. B'shanoso is time with Abimelech, when he changed his senses before Abimelech by Yigoshei Vayila, and drove him away. He was driven away, and he departed. He went through. Now, who he's talking about here is not Abimelech. Abimelech was the name for all the Plishti kings. It certainly was by the times of the Avos. The Abimelech that lived by Avram was most likely not the Abimelech that lived by Yitzchak. He was a different Abimelech altogether. But Abimelech was the name of the king that they called the Plishtim. It's likely this Abimelech was also the name of the Plishti king, but his real name was Achish, king of Gath. That was Achish. Now, what had happened? If you all remember, David Abimelech was well known for destroying the Plishtim. He had fought many, many Plishtim, had won many, many wars, and all of them were totally decimated in front of him, including the famous Goliath, right? That was the famous one that he had destroyed, the first one that he had destroyed, that he had taken down. When he was running away from Saul HaMelech, at one point he had to go to Achish, the king of Gath, in order to hide. And when he was there, he thought, erroneously so, but he thought that he'd be able to hide and nobody would know who he was. He would just change it a little bit. But immediately, Goliath's three brothers, including Yishbi, Benov, Madon, etc., they saw him and they were like, wait, isn't that David? That's David. So they started chasing after him. They captured him. They brought him up to Achish, right? And that way, he was scared. He didn't know what to do. So in that sense, he feigned madness. He pretended to be crazy. Started dribbling down in his beard. He started doing crazy things and saying crazy things, scribbling on the wall, says the Navi, of what he was doing. And it was unbelievable. A miracle happened, and they didn't suspect that it was a trick. What's the first thing you would do if you think you caught David HaMelech and the guy's acting all crazy? You'd just be like, okay, he's acting crazy,
yeah,
but it's still him.
But still, yeah. Who cares if he's crazy?
It doesn't matter, right? Because it's him. But what Achish said is, that can't be him. It can't be him. How could it be him? Achish, he's not crazy. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable miracle that they believed it.
Well, maybe they knew he was like an advisor.
That's interesting, actually, yeah.
It doesn't make sense, because he's like a top advisor, as far as they know, in Shaul's court.
No, you're right.
He's a big warrior.
Yeah, you're right.
All of a sudden he came to the enemy and he's acting like a crazy man.
Because he knew he was caught. I mean, once you're caught, of course you're going to act crazy.
But why would he be there to begin with?
But I agree with that. That's
wanted,
spying out. Spying out the land.
Most wanted. You don't send
I definitely hear you. There's no question. But I still think this is quite a miracle. Maybe it's not an open miracle. You know, it's not like Kriyas Yamsu, so to speak. But it is an unbelievable miracle that they all believed it. And Al-Qaeda said it, and they're like, yeah, it probably isn't.
They're photographs. They're going to be like, oh, wait, this is him. You know, the DNA, biometrics, it fits, and it's him. They're like, oh, that looks like David, but there's no way that's him.
I guess I hear you. Yes, that's how it happened. I just think it's quick. Why not kill him anyway? Who cares? Who cares? Maybe it looks like David. Why not? I hear you, but like, you're way too. You're giving them too much credit that they were too civilized. You know what I'm saying? I would say
there was some civilization that like people would go around like, you know what? He looks like David. Let's kill him. Like,
you have your suspicions, and it's possible it's him. I would definitely have done something.
Yeah, they captured him.
The first time they captured him because they thought it was him, and they brought him over to Achish, which he defended.
You can't say whatever all these people. It's in Arabic. They think it's dangerous. They jump on him right away.
I wish TSA did that. They don't do that. They get to choose. Yeah, it's everybody else. It's always the white guy. By the way, but that's that. Also, the third thing is that the wife and daughter of Achish had also gone crazy. And that's why he said to them, aren't there enough crazy people in my house that you have to bring me more crazy people? He knew crazy. Because Achish had his wife and daughter who already went mad. So that his heart ached whenever he saw another person stricken with madness. He said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have that. This is a sick line, but the Meow Boys over here. But for kings usually enjoy the sight of demented people. Yeah, I think what he means. It's likely that that's what they meant. That's what he meant by that. But it is crazy, but that's the idea. But it is funny, because why not put him in chains and throw him in jail for 5 years and see what's going to be with him and see if he keeps up the crazy?
Oh, worst comes to it's not him, so what?
Yeah, and aside from that, according to Chazal, Goliath's brothers were still arguing with Achish. No, we really think it's him. No, we really think it's him. And Achish convinced them, not only convinced them, he sent away and said, don't touch him. He's for sure not David. That's also crazy. If that's what happens, right? If Goliath's brothers were convinced of him, forget about what Achish said. They would kill him anyway. But that's that. That's the idea behind
his
it.
Authority?
Yeah, Achish the king.
But I'm saying, like, if he killed both, I'm saying, if David was...
Nonetheless, Achish is the king. If Achish told him not to, you can't go against the king.
So I'm saying, we say that they're not that civilized. Mm-hmm. Clearly they are. They're civilized enough that they have
good call.
Respect to the king.
Well, I don't think that's civilized. That's fear. That's fear. Fear of reprisal and punishment.
Goliath, I'm saying, like, the great Plishtim.
Again, nonetheless, it's fear of punishment. You don't do that in front of a king. It's just a lack of realization of what a king is.
Well, that's still being civilized.
That's not civilized. It's fear. It's being afraid. Okay. You're afraid of only one person. You're not afraid of the police. You're afraid of the king. The king will kill you. I think that's the only reason why. There is an unbelievable medrash. It's from the Aleph Beis de Ben Sira. He doesn't quote it over here, but I remember this one. That David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the point of Shotim? Why do you make mentally ill people in this world? What's the point of them in this world? And David HaMelech was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to need that. You're going going to need it. That's a very interesting line. Typically speaking, I don't think we have a real answer for it. Usually, like very similar to the spider, usually the answer that we give is for the other people's perfection. That's the answer that I've always seen in different, you know, whatever it is.
What about Jehovah?
Yeah, that's another answer that you can give. That's the more esoteric answer that Spartan would give, right? Learn Kabbalah, because Ashkenazim will be like, no, no such thing. That's the other answer. Nursing alone, that's for sure not the answer. That's for sure not it. Right? But the fourth answer of saying that the Shotim are there for Dovin and Melech to be able to hide, for people to hide, is an interesting little line. By the way, also, Vayigarshehu Vayelach. You notice it doesn't say Vayaratz, he ran away, Vayelach, and he walked away. He knew if he ran away, they would catch up to him and they would kill him. So that's why he walked away.
Is this the first time we saw somebody act like that? We don't have a concept of Shotim before.
You're right. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it in the world, I think is what we're asking. I'm trying to think, who is a Shotim? Who acted as a Shotim before this? Did we have somebody? Do we have a Shotim?
I mean, isn't it brought down and isn't it discussed?
It's too good to trust in Gemara, but I don't know if it's...
The only thing we have is the Ailey, which you thought she was.
That was an issue of...
It was drunk. Okay? No. I mean, I'm thinking Sholem, though, because Sholem was a madman at times when he went up against Dabba, which would have been the same time.
He wasn't a Shotim.
It was interesting, because the way the Radak puts it, it seems like he was almost in the level of Shtus.
Maybe because he was over the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it refers to. It's an interesting call. Is there another Shota? All right, anyway. This is in the Aleph phase, yeah. I will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Tell me to bless with thee. His praises are always in my mouth. There's going to be a sweet praise that I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what he's saying after escaping from the pollution. Notice over here, by the way, there is no Vav in this whole Mizmor. No, I mean, obviously, in the middle of the Mizmor, but there's no Vav in the Aleph phase, for whatever reason, which is a little bit of Akasha. There are two pays altogether. Two pays that are going to be here. So a bit of a cash over here, but nonetheless, in Hashem, my soul praises Yishmoan b'mi Yismachu. Let the humble hear it and let them be happy. Right? And that's the idea behind it. Meaning, I don't think it's me. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should hear, they should be happy that it's not me. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing what he has to do. God bless Amiti. Declare the greatness of God and how he's done with me. And Rama Shmuel Yaakov will exalt his name together. That's an interesting line, by the way. If anybody remembers, God bless Amiti and Rama Shmuel Yaakov. Number one, that's what we say when we bring the Torah down from the Aron Kodesh, right? And there's also a line of where we learn to say certain lines in our brachos to answer back of Amen, Baruch Hu, Roshmo, etc. We learn from that passage. Rashi, that's the Shema Nani. I searched for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he answered me. He saved me from all of my fears. They beat to a love in Aru. They looked to him and they were radiant. Their faces were never ashamed. Obviously, that could be the Vav. It's just interesting that there's no other Vav here. The poor man calls out and Hashem answers. He saves him from all the different types of pains that he's inside. There are two types of Yeshuas that a person could have. Number one, a person who's already in trouble and before he even comes to the situation in the first place that he doesn't even know about. Lazid Levo, we're going to go up to Shemayim and he's going to be like, you don't think I did enough for you? Look what I did. And shows us all the things that did not happen that could have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us before the situation even arose. He didn't even know about it. That's the idea behind it. The Zohar says that an Ani who davens, causes the firmament, meaning the Rekios, to open wide and accept his prayers no matter what he is saying, no matter what he's doing. Which is why, if you curse out a poor man, or if you do something harsh to a poor man, his prayers are heard, and chas v'shalom, that could be a tremendous kitrug against you.
Right.
You have to be very careful with that. Yes.
In that case, this might be a lot. Something. What do we consider a poor man?
I don't know.
The guy who's asking for money, then goes
to cigarette. Does not say. That ani karav Hashem shamei is the one. A poor man calls out and Hashem listens, but I don't have a definition. I don't have anything more than what it says. Chonam alach Hashem savi l'reyav. The angel of Hashem camps around those who fear him, meaning taking care of them, obviously. Vayechal asein. And saves them out of the different ideas of what he goes over there. Some say this refers to mitzvahs. The Malach Hashem is referring to a mitzvah. And that refers to the great Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Daled, if you remember with the Zona, when the guy, the rabbi, the Talmud of Rechia, Mem...
Gimel Mabez.
Maybe it starts from Gimel Mabez. I thought it was Mem Daled or Menachos. It's possible. Maybe I messed up. I thought it was mandala and elf. Okay, we can look it up later. But what the Gemara says, that there's a, that was off your head, right? On the top of your head.
Yes,
sure. but where it says over there that there was a man who was very into zonos, and as he went to go see one, he took off his shirt, and the tzitzit slapped him in the face, and he sat down and he cried. His daughter came down and he said, what's wrong? You know, the ambience. So he said, everything's good. I can't do this. And he walked back, and she converted and married the guy. She went back. She sold her stuff, etc. In Avodah Zarah as well. Kedushin.
Where that guy brought, had like all of these pretty women in his attic, and he took a
Orvamo Chasida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladder that
he called, but then he screamed out loud and he said,
yeah.
Right, it's interesting, Gemara's over there also. The Yitzhahara with Rabbi Akiva is like, such an unbelievable Gemara. All right, anyway, Tamaru, did you do it also? Yeah. Take the flavor, so to speak, and see that Hashem is good. Ashrei Agevriach Zabo, happy is a person that protects himself in Him, that takes refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look into the Torah to be able to see what you need. Yiru Es Hashem Kedoshav. You know, I always mess up in this word. Yiru Es Hashem Kedoshav. This is Yiru Es Hashem Kedoshav Kei Machzor L'Reyav. Right? I mess up all the time. I say it as Yiru. Chirik Shva. It's not. It's Yiru. Okay, I say it wrong all the time, and it's in my head from when I was a little kid. It's the same by Sarah. Yeah, I just want to make sure. It's the same by you guys, right? It's just possible. Yeah, I just want to make sure. But it's Yiru Es Hashem. Do you say Yiru Es Hashem? Yeah. But you say it in Svenchen.
Yeah.
You do. Yiru Es Hashem Kedoshav Kei Machzor L'Reyav. Fear Hashem, all His holy ones, because those who are holy, who fear Him, are never lacking in anything whatsoever. Chanina Mendoza, even though he was only given a cob of cherub trees, or cherubs per week, or whatever it was, he always had what he needed. Not what he wanted, but he had what he needed in order to survive. If you're a Yiru Hashem, you'll get what you need. Fear Mashu Braigu, but lions, young lions, and this means like people that are always willing to do more, they want more. Rasu, they lack. They're evil and they feel that they're starving. The door is Hashem, but if you search for God, you will never be longing for anything. You'll never lack anything whatsoever. And that's a shot. Even though they're kfirim and they have enough. They're getting meat, they have this, they have that. They never have enough. A Yirei Hashem, somebody who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should not have more than that. And there's an interesting little line over here as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports animals in the womb when they're born. He gives them everything they need when they're born. If a man had that type of bitachon, you would be taking care of in the same way. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it, that even bird, you know, chicks that are sitting in a nest and their mother isn't there immediately to feed them, they feed off the worms that are there in the nest. That's a Gemara. So too with us as well. L'hu barim shimuli, come children, listen to me, Yiru Es Hashem Alamedchem. I want to teach you the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. That's the idea behind it. That's the line that we said over here. There's an interesting mashal over here, but for now, right? But that's the idea. You know what you should do? Who is the man that desires life? Who loves his days and wants to see only good? I'm going to skip this for 1 second. Mitzur l'shon chamera. Keep your tongue from speaking out evil, so sechem gaber mirma, and your lips from speaking out anything that's bad. Sur me rabase tov. Turn away from evil and do good. Bakesh shalom v'rafeu. Search out peace and chase after. Now, obviously, this is where the words of the Chafetz Chaim come from, right? Why we call him. His name was not Chafetz. I know that's a shocker to almost everybody. But, you know, just a different. Saul Meir Kagan was his actual name. Chafetz was a nickname. Based on this, cannot speak Lashon Hara. And it's crazy over here, but it goes like this. We're going to say a lot of things over here. Who is the person that's Chafetz Chaim? So number one, a person had a single measure of wheat. If he used it for planting, right, to make sure he's going to, you know, to live in the future, he would never sell it. Not even for many gold coins, because he's going to need that for himself at a later point. If, however, he plans on eating it right now, well then he'll sell it for whatever price he wants, because okay, I'll trade the money for a loaf of bread and everything like that. If you desire life, it depends on what you're looking for. You want life in this world or you want life in the next world? If you want life in this world, okay, you can get what you need and you'll be fine and it's not that big of a deal. But who wants life in the next world? Who's the person that truly desires life in the next world to know what he's going to get in the next world? That's a person who does not act as a hypocrite, who listens to and does everything that he says he's going to do. and that's been Itzur Lashoncha. He doesn't bear witness, he doesn't curse, he doesn't do anything like that, and that's that. We all know about the famous story, and I spoke about it not too long ago with Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was heard, some say it was Rabbi Alexander that did this, but a peddler was going through the ware saying, who wants life? Mibo yisama dechaya, mibo yisama dechaya. Who wants an elixir of life, who wants an elixir of life? Rabbi Yanai came out and said, I want it. Right? Everybody else is going as well. And he said to Rabbi Yanai, you and your friends don't need it. Right? Rabbi Yanai pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and said, what are you doing? And he showed him that the sefer, Miyah Shechav Yitzchayim, Oy Gemi Lassov, Nitzor Lashon Chamera. That's what I'm selling. I'm showing people a sefer to Tehillim to be able to sell them. That's the idea behind it. Rabbi Yanai said about that, all my life I was learning this pasuk and I had no idea what it was talking about. Now I know what it's talking about. The line that we use for that, there's a bunch of different pshatim in that, but one of the lines that you can learn from that is that it's not just about watching your tongue, it's that you can improve other people as well, and that's what he didn't get. It's that you should announce it as a Chofetz Chaim. This is something that everybody should know to be able to go through. That's the idea behind it. Alright, there's a bunch of different ideas behind it. That's also why it was in Sipori. Sipori is known for its clear air, etc., and things like that. Regardless, turn away from evil and do good is a famous line. In order to do good, oftentimes you need to turn away from evil first. And the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, decided to make the line of Zihi, oh, I shouldn't even say him, I'm wrong for saying this. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, when going through the 15 midos that lead to the highest level of Nevuah, Rav Pinchas ben Yair said, you have to do Zihirus and then Zrizus. Be careful not to do any Lavin, and be Zoris to do Mitzvos properly. First, turn away from evil, and then you can do good. Can you do good while you're still doing evil? Yes, but it's not going to be lasting, and it's not going to be something that will affect you. First, turn away from evil, and then you'll have the propensity to be able to do good. That's the concept of Sur Meira, and then Aseh Tov. We have a lot of things that are learned out from over here. There are many things about regarding Yosef, or Yaakov and Esav, that Esav was the job of Sur Meira, and Yaakov was the job of Aseh Tov. When Esav decided he didn't want it, Yaakov took on both aspects of Sur Meira, Aseh Tov. Sur Meira was Leah, Aseh Tov was Rachel. Yosef had Menashe and Ephraim. The Menashe was the Sur Meira, and Ephraim was the Aseh Tov. So some unbelievable words that come from this line over here, many different things. Ein Hashem al Tzadikin, the eyes of Hashem turn toward the Tzadikim, Ozav Shavosam, his ears to their cries to listen to what they have to say. Pnei Hashem ba'osei ro, but the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is against those who do evil, l'hachris merit zichrom, to turn away and to cut down from every land any remembrance of them whatsoever. It turns the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to them to benefit the Tzadikim, but angry at the enemies. So Akav Hashem Shemeh, they cry out loud and Hashem answers, or Hashem listens. Mikol Tzav Shemeh Zilam, and again, he saves them from all the things, all of their pain and anything bad that happens. Karov Hashem Lishvei Leif, Hashem is close to anybody who's broken hearted, that's Dake Ruach Yoshia, anybody who's crushed his spirit, he will be saved. Gotta be very careful with this. When you knock a person down, that means that person is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than you are at that moment. Because Karov Hashem L'Nishperei Leiv. It's got to be very careful when knocking somebody down and doing something. If that guy davens against you, he will be listened to. So very, very careful with that. There's six stories of that where people didn't want something bad about their wife because they said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to you if you cry. Evil, right? It's unbelievable. That's the only reason why. Nothing to do with the girl, but they use this pusik. It's like, oh, I can't, like, don't cry. I don't want God to be angry with me. Clearly issues. Rabos Royis Tzadik. Many are the evils that fall to the Tzadik. Mikul Netzalenu Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from everything that happens. Shomer HaKalatz Moisav. He keeps, guards all of his bones. Achas Meinu L'Nishbro. Not one of them will ever be broken. Well, I broke my hand once. So, sorry guys, that's not happening for me. I guess I'm not up there over here. But again, a mushroom over here. A king decreed that anyone violating a certain royal command was to be stoned. A heavy stone was to be cast upon him. One time, it happened that the king's own son disobeyed the son's command, the king's command. And that was a real problem. What are you going to do? How are you going to be able to, what are they going to do to the son? The son's going to have to be killed. How are you going to spare the life, yet still uphold the law? So they ruled that a large stone should be crushed into a fine powder. And they took the powder and threw all of the powder at the prince. And that's that. Here's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts even the Rishayim. Instead of making it one stone that destroyed the Rasha all at once, he takes the powder and sprinkles it one by one so that Yisurin take a hold of him, and little by little he is punished to get rid of the full punishment. Good muscle, isn't it? It's from the Medrash Tehillim. I like that muscle a lot. So most states rush a raw. Evil will destroy the wicked. Those that hate the righteous, they will find, be found guilty at the end. Hashem will redeem the soul of his servants. They will never be guilty, those who take refuge in him. If you notice over here, that's a pay at the end of all of the Aleph-Bays, an extra pay that's added on, I guess for an extra pidiyah, a redemption, a kapara that goes at the very, very end if you do everything correctly. Okay, let's do one more over here. Lamed Hey. L'David, Riva Hashem is Riva. Hashem, fight my fights. L'cham is L'chamai. Wage war against those who I have to wage war. David HaMelech said this daven, this tefillah, right before going up against Goliath and destroying Goliath. That's this is the tefillah that he said in front of him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fight for me. Take my Tzina, take my shield and my I don't even know how to pronounce this. What's Tzina? What is that? He says here it's like a buckler. I don't know what that means. Like shirt mail? Shirt mail? I don't even know.
Can you call the shield
armor?
Buckler.
I don't know what buckler is. Do we have armor? Armor is good. I'm okay with armor.
Pick up shield and armor.
Yeah, I like that. The Kuma Bazrasi, get up and save me. Balrei Chaniz who score. Draw out the spear who score Likrasvot Phi. And close the battle axe against those who chase me. They say to my soul, that I will save you. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me and don't let me be hit. Anybody who searches for me, they should be embarrassed and ashamed. Turn back. Anybody who thinks bad things against me, they should be disgraced, humiliated, knocked down. They should be like chaff in front of the wind. And the Malach of Hashem should push them away from me so they don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. They should be as flimsy as straw to be scattered by the wind. Their ways and everything they do should be dark and slippery. Malach Hashem should pursue them and make sure it happens. Now, again, if this is referring to Goliath over here, and each one refers to something that Goliath had. Goliath had a brass head covering and scaled armor, and thus he said, take off the mugging mitzina. Then it says, draw out the spear, remove the blade from Goliath's spear so that it doesn't hurt me. Close against them to pursue me is let everyone see, right, that I knocked down Goliath and I did it myself. Let Goliath collapse as chaff in front of the wind. That let the Malach destroy him completely, and the rest of the Plishim would try to run away. Let the paths become slippery so that they slip and fall, and that they get killed by the Jews themselves. What's that?
Note on the side.
Yeah. Help against friends turn traitors. That's interesting. Yeah, that's the opposite of what he's saying right now. That's an interesting call. Let's see what works over here. He's going with Goliath. He couldn't have totally shot. Oh, this is good because these might be traitors over here. They set the net and the destruction of their net. They do it for no reason. They hide it against me. They dig for my soul for no reason. Let Shoa come upon them without them knowing about it. Let the net that catches him, let it be caught inside the Shoa. Let him fall in it instead. Let them fall into the entire idea itself. There's an interesting lie over here. Two innkeepers were vying for the honor to host a very, very wealthy man who was coming into town. One dishonest innkeeper said to a certain cabman who stood outside the city, listen, when you see rich people come into the city, bring them straight to my house. I want them to come to my inn because I'll make more money off that guy than I will off the poor people that are coming into town. Make sure that happened. And I'll pay you a little bit more for bringing them into my establishment. So what happened was, is that usually the government and putting in army men, army generals or whatever it is, and putting them up in hotels, and you are required to have the army men stay at your hotel for free. The army, they would not pay for it, quartering, right, where you had to be there, and that was that. So a guy came in, right, and the guy came up to the coachman and said, I'm an army man, bring me to the closest inn. And the guy told him, he's like, I can't bring you to this inn that I'm supposed to bring all my people to. He's not going to let you in because he needs to be paid. But he said, you know what, fine, show him this amount of money, like a deposit that I have over here, right? And then let me in. So he went, he gave him the deposit. The guy, the innkeeper, was like ecstatic. Oh wow, this guy's such a wealthy guy. And the guy came in, the guy walked in with all of his army stuff, and he realized he's making no money off it whatsoever. The trap that he set for the other innkeeper, that he should get all the rich people, fell in his own face. He didn't get the rich man. He got a rich man that he wouldn't get paid for, and not only that, but he had to pay the coachman for bringing him into his house. That's what ended up happening. See, that's the idea of being trapped over there. And actually, talk about Hashem tells us to show us my soul should be happy in a Kurdish Baruch Hu and rejoice in his salvation and everything that happens. All my bones say to a Kurdish Baruch Hu, who is like you? That is the minute that we have in our davening to sway, that all of my bones are involved in saying to a Kurdish Baruch Hu, who is like you? That every part of me should daven a Kurdish Baruch Hu.
So you're not supposed to.
So it's interesting. The Ben Ish Chai has a whole piece in Parshas Noach in his Ben Ish Chai Halachos about not swaying. But the minute in Klal Yisrael is to do so, when it comes from this or from Ner Hashem Nishma Gadol.
You gotta
start them also.
No,
not at all.
You go to like people who learn Ashkenazi yeshiva, the kind of infiltrated, but it was not a lot.
When I go to yeshiva, start yeshiva, and I've been to like different places, like Porat Yosef, right? I saw tons of people doing it. But you're right. It might be the evil infiltration of Ashkenazi.
They went to Shiva Katana, though. Where did they go?
That's a good call. Maybe. I don't know.
Look at the Rosh Yeshiva.
There's no question. All the Rosh Yeshivas of Ashkenazi yeshivas. Watch the Rosh Yeshivas. They don't cut. They don't sweat. Rosh Yeshivas and big rabbanim do not sweat. Maybe once in a while you'll see somebody like trying to get like, you know, like that, whatever it is. When they daven Shemoneh Esrei, you watch them, they're stock still. They say that Rabbi Victor Miller did not move a muscle during his Shemoneh Esrei. Not move one muscle. And I did it. When I went to a certain show, I asked a big rub that once, and he said, go watch Gedolim. Go watch how Gedolim daven. Look at Rebbe Yashiv, look at Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, look at how they daven. I didn't see Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Like the different Gedolim, and see how they daven. He was right. They were all stock still.
I'm not showing you three guys who did not go.
They stand still. It's amazing. But my boat should say, but it's coming from this. There's another one, Nerasham Yishmasadam. The Kuzari is the famous one that they used to lean into the Chumash. They only had one Chumash. So everybody would lean in once and then go back. And then another guy would lean in. It's great. It's mamish. Matzalani Mechazuk Menu, save an ani from the one who's stronger than him. The ani Bab Yomi goes low. And the poor and the needy from those that rob him, right? The idea behind it. In other words, save him from the Zayt Sahari. Yikuminin Chamas. Evil aid him get up. Those that they ask me things that I don't know the answer to. Yishamuni Ra'at HaSov, they pay me back evil instead of good. Shchol Nafshi, sorrow and bereavement for myself. Ani B'chalosim B'levushin Sok, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth for my own enemies. I wore sackcloth when they went down because I wanted to daven for them. Inesi B'tzom Nafshi, I afflicted myself by fasting. And my prayers, it went back in my own lap. In other words, they might not have davened for me, but I davened for them. And that's the idea. You daven for somebody else. Get answered first, and obviously Sholem Melech. Daven for Sholem Melech to get better. I walked about as if it was my friend and my brother. Ka'avol Ein, as if I was bowed down from, as if my mother, oh, mourning for my mother, Kodesh Shachrisi, I bowed down with sadness, and I sat there praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not my enemy. When I stumble, they rejoice. They bring together all these people against me. I don't even know who.
People who are lame.
That's what I would have thought also. It's stricken men, even they, the lame men, run to gather against me. You know what I'm saying? Like, even they run to be like, and laugh at me. Karu v'lo damu. If they would tear my skin, they wouldn't even find blood. I am so embarrassed from what they've done to me, if kilo, my blood would not spill out. My blood has been white from what they've done to me. Even though, and that's the pshapian, the kante lagi ma'og, it's like men just mocking me the whole time. Karu k'lai shenemo, and they gnash their teeth against me with mock and scorn. Hashem Kamasira. How long are you going to look at this? Hashiva Nafshim Yishwayam. Save me from their destruction. Mikfirim Yechidasi. The only thing that I have against the lions that are against me. Oh, call the call Rav, and then I will praise you in the call Rav. Ba'amatum Alaka. In a mighty nation, I will praise you. Now, clearly, this is not talking about gullies anymore. This is talking about enemies. I think our school is right in that line over there that's going against the people that are against me. My enemies of falsehood should not be happy about me. That my enemies, for no reason, they shouldn't wink their eyes against me. Like, look at you, what happened to you. He will show me that they were. They don't speak out peace. While Rigi Eretz Dibri Mir was Achshobun, and upon the peace of the land, they speak out bad things to try to destroy me anyway, even when things are going well for me. They open their mouths wide against me. They say, aha, aha. We say, Nenu, we saw it with our own eyes. We saw what you did. They laugh at me. Reisi Hashem. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll talk about Rosh Adonai. Don't be silent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tircha Mianu, don't stay far away from me. Rise yourself and get up and help my Mishpat. Oh, hi, Valkanil Ravi, my God and my Master for my fight. Judge me according to your righteousness, Hashem, my God. Do not allow them to laugh at me. You judge me. Tell me, did I do this in the right way or not? Do not let them say in their hearts, aha, we got what we desire. They should not say we swallowed them up. They should be embarrassed and degraded together. Those who are happy about my downfall. They should don embarrassment and shame. Those who come up against me. Let them shout out and be happy. Those who want my tzidkus, let them be happy. They should always say that God is magnified, God is great, glorified. terrified. Who wants the shalom of my eved? I mean, in other words, me, myself, Lashoni Teget Sikecha, and therefore my tongue will speak out. You're right in the Kohen Tehillah, and all day praises. So the first part is talking about Goliath, and the second part is talking about how he went up against his enemies and how he's fighting against his enemies. Even though we daven for them and they hated him completely, nonetheless, this is something that we daven for, that he davened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should see the light, they should be embarrassed by what they're doing, and that I should succeed. We're up to this. We're on Lamed Vav right now.